in children's work and those going out. Father, we ask for your blessing, Lord. We see your hand upon people's lives, Lord, and we especially at this time bring all the children before you, Father. Thank you that we have children. Lord, we pray for more. And Father, we thank you for willing workers that give of themselves, Lord, to serve you. May they have a great time, Lord, with the kids, Lord. And may they hold what Michelle has just said. They are sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. Bless them, anoint them, and guide them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Be gone. Be gentle to those going out, children. Show mercy. Well, it's been a strange sort of start to the day. At midnight last night, I was still trying to get the laptop to fire up. And then we came to the conclusion, all right, we'll just go back to, we'll copy the songs and we'll give you all a sheet when you come in. And at 8:30 this morning, the printer's about 4 months old. That decided it wouldn't work either. So we're on plan C. Plan C was Kay, and as Matt said, she did fantastic, winging it. And now we're going to do a, instead of using Song Pro, I've just copied and pasted the three texts that we're going to look at today. We are going through the big picture of what the Bible story is all about. We have done so far Genesis chapter 1. Come on, I'm not doing this. You are going to do this. Genesis chapter 1, excluding Matt. You all need to go home if you don't know what Genesis chapter 1 is and perhaps become something else. Come on. Creation. Not chapter 1. Right. Chapter 2. What's chapter 2? Creation. Yeah, a recap of the creation done from a different perspective. Chapter 3, commonly known as what? One of the most important passages that you will read in the Bible. Come on. I know you know it. You're married to me. Come on, someone else. The fall. Right, if you've answered so far, don't answer again. Chapter 4 is what? That good a sermon, eh? It's online. You can listen to it again. You need to. Sorry, Bob, what did you say? Not the ark. Save that answer till chapter 6. Cain and Abel, the way of Cain. Look, there are only really two ways in this life. You can do life God's way. And when we do life God's way, that's the sort of miracle that you see. That's the sort of miracle that you see. You know, when Carol and Bob came in this church, I mean, they found us a bit strange. Oh, not the church, it was just me they found strange. But do you know what they found strange? Was that actually people spoke to them. Is that not right? Right? Can you imagine the churches that they've been to where nobody spoke to them? Best message in the world, worst delivery in the world. Come on, the way of Cain. Learn this stuff. You are about to enter into chapter 12, one of the most important passages again. Abraham. Right, and from that point onwards, we are going to do a timeline, and you'll have this every week. I'll be ramming it down your throat. So learn the timeline. Chapter 5, we skipped. It's a genealogy, and it's showing you what's happening to the people, the way of Cain and the way of Seth. Chapter 6, your turn, Bob. Go for it. Don't crash now. Yeah, the ark. The beginning, right? And then for three chapters, it's all about the ark. And hear this. Everyone in this room got off the ark. We're all related back to that family that came away from the ark. And we left it last week where I showed you from the original language that God was already on the ark and he said to Noah and his family, come. And come is one of the most frequent messages of God. Come to me who are all who are weary. Come and see. Come and find out. Come and explore. Come and learn. Come and rest. Come and inherit. All these are coming out in the gospel messages. And it's the same message over and over again. Those that did not go on the ark perished. And it's a great picture of coming to Jesus. Will we come to him? And if we come to him, then we're safe. Now, we go to a strange character, and you can read this and miss the point. This is Genesis chapter 10. And before we get to Abraham, we're going to contrast Abraham's life with a man called Nimrod. And he's a strange character. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and that is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. When the Bible repeats something, it's sort of prodding us to take notice. Watch what happens. Mighty. See? Mighty. Mighty. That's not God just running out of words. He's saying to his readers, take notice. Do you see that? Okay. So what is he asking us to take notice of? Well, when you the first mighty is mighty warrior. And I used to read this and think, oh, he's a warrior. And then when you go on and read about being a hunter, how many of you in the room think he's a hunter of game? Oh, right, okay. What do you think he's a hunter of? Stamps? Sinners. Well, that's a bit harsh. Well, he includes them, actually. Go on. Hunter of power. How did you get that, Ken? Yeah. No, but do you know, for years I've read it that way. Then actually when you study the passage, he is indeed a hunter of people. And not only is he a hunter of people, he's actually very successful at it. And he goes on and uses that talent, if you like, for that, his kingdom. Not God's kingdom, his kingdom. And this passage is so important. It's the first mention, and that's another way of Bible study. It's the first mention of the word kingdom. But it's not God's kingdom. You and I should be praying for God's kingdom to come. Not thy will, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah? You pray that will? Do you pray that? Why do you get angry when that doesn't happen? Why do you get disappointed when actually God says, well, this is my will. You've asked me to answer your prayer and I'm answering it. But then you don't like the way I'm answering it. Anyone done that one? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah. But it's all about his kingdom. And that's why I asked Michelle to give her testimony. She told me that testimony on the way while we were travelling in this morning. And I thought, well, it just ties together. We are seed sowing. Not for new hope. It's irrelevant. We're seed sowing for him. What he does with that is his seed, isn't it? And he brings it alive. But this Nimrod is building his kingdom. And there's the word, Babylon. And if you do a study around Nimrod and Babylon, every other religion traces it back to Nimrod. There is not one other religion, one other demonic force that isn't traced back to that character. Isn't that amazing? We see it in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, where the vision is describing the picture of Babylon and how she's clothed and all the power and everything. And it comes from the actions of Nimrod building his kingdom in direct opposition to what God has asked them to do. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I think it's verse 28, it said to Adam and Eve, right, okay, I want you to go out and populate the whole earth. They hadn't even had the fall yet. And God's command was always to go and spread round the world and populate the earth. He said the same to Noah when Noah and his family came off the ark. Go out and populate the whole earth. He hasn't changed his mind. That's not an invitation to have lots of babies, so just chill. Right? But it is an opportunity to see that God's kingdom is all over the earth. So the first centres of Nimrod's kingdom are Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, Calneh and Shinar. I should have had Matt out. And from that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh. We see these places coming up in the Bible. Rehoboth, Calah, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Calah, which is the great city. This man, leading no doubt his army, he's conquering all the peoples, and he becomes the one that is deified. In other words, they turn this man into the first opposition of God. He's a false god, but he is worshipped. Fascinating. Watch what they do. Next slide, please, Roy. Can you read that? I had to keep it a bit small. I want it all on. It's the Tower of Babel in chapter 11. What do we know about the Tower of Babel without reading the text? Famous? Have we all heard of it? Really tall. Yeah, that's good, Catherine. Why was it really tall? Yep, but why? It includes worship, yeah. To reach to heaven, yeah. Do you know, the way the Bible tells the story, I would suggest to you, and particularly with the materials that they're using, they're building it in case there's another flood. All right, God, we've seen what you did last time. You flooded the whole earth. We're going to build a big city, which is in direct contradiction to what God had asked them to do. And we're going to build a tower. So if you send that rain again, we'll be safe. The whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved eastwards, they found a plain in China and settled there. They just found it. Okay? They said to each other, come, there's our word, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Sometimes we look back at ancient peoples and we think they didn't have any technology or any understanding. But these are very, very clever people. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar or pitch. It's the same word used when God pitched the inside of the ark to make it waterproof. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for who? Ourselves. Too much of what we do is about making a name for ourselves, isn't it? Even today. Even in ministry, we can make our name for ourselves. That's wrong. You're not here to make a name for you. You're here to make a name for him. Kenny and I were traveling back the other day from the food bank, and I battered him with this stuff. Didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes. You are here, a pilgrim, passing through to make a name for him. Anything else is well down the list. Don't fall into the trap. Otherwise, look, we will be scattered over the whole face of the earth. And that's what God had asked them to do. When you start building for you, one of the things that you will lose sight of is what your calling is. And you are called to something. You're also, as we'll find out with Abraham, called from something. That can be scary for some people. Let me assure you it's not. Why would God call you from something to something and then not give you or change you to be the person you were created to be? It's an impossible paradox. I knew when I was 35 I should be doing this. It wasn't until I was 47 that I yielded to God's will. And that makes me the biggest fool I know. I'm the loser, not anybody else. But look at what he does in his grace. Look, the Lord came down. The man can build anything he likes, as tall as he likes, but God will always have to come down. Nothing will reach him. If as one people speak in the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Can you imagine if you enter the picture? They're building this tower. maybe they're on floor 22 or whatever, and Roger Price does a brilliant tape on it, a CD teaching on it, and he basically says, you can imagine two guys, and one guy says, pass the hammer, and out comes a load of blah, 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 blah. And the other guy looks at him and says, what did you say? But he says it in a different blah, 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 blah. And they end up not knowing what's happening. And what's going to happen is the whole building project comes to a grinding halt. Let's go down and confuse the language. And look, he sneaks this in. Let us. Let us. Who's he talking to? Ah, it's us. Yes, it's another indicator of the Trinity. Look, let's go down, confuse the language so they're not understand each other. And so the Lord scattered them. You see, they wanted to stay where they were. They got their plans, and God has his. And you and I might think we are capable of saying to God, no. If you go down that track, and I've been down it many times, you are daft as me. Get on board with his plan, whatever it is. His will come through. It's his story. They stopped building the city, and that is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there, here we are again, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. His will. I have been encouraging church for a number of weeks now. When you start your day, get on your knees. And some of you are nodding, thank you. Get on your knees before God and say, not my will, but your will be done. And even if you can't say that at this point, don't lie, just ask him then to change your heart. And he'll do it. It might take a time as he grows something within us, but actually not my will, but yours. Give it a go. Right, and then we come to Genesis 12. Please, 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 for the next few weeks, learn Abraham. So what do we know before we put it up? Oh, thank you. You're on fire, Roy. Ignore what's behind me. In fact, I'll stand in front of it. There's probably a lot to get round because I'm not that wide anymore. What do we know about Abraham? Loads, obviously. Look at your faces. I wish I had a mirror. A stargazer. Star Wars? Yeah, he's a pagan, is what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. He worshipped the sun, the moon, and the stars. Fantastic, Ken. Father of nations. Where did you get that from? What do you mean by, yes, good John. What do you mean by father of nations? Because words mean what you mean them to mean, and I want to know what you mean that word to be. Don't you wish you'd never sang that one out? Because he is, but what do you understand by that? Come on, Chris, go with it. Well, he does have some children, yeah? Yeah? Actually, and Paul tells us that actually we can trace our lineage back to Abraham, and we'll be looking at that in a few weeks' time. Yeah? Anything else that we know? Got any songs about Father Abraham? You've been doing children's work? Yeah? Yeah? All right, okay. Come on, what else do we know? We know he's a pagan or comes from a pagan background. We know he's the founder of the Jewish faith, and then Paul transfers that onto the Christian. Ah, that's come in, yeah. That sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Sacrifice his son. Yeah, we'll get to that one, Ken. Good. God spoke to him. Yes, yeah. We'll get to that as well. The covenant. Let's stay with God speaking to him. Put your hand up in this room if God has ever spoken to you. Most of you, are saying that God has spoken to you. Probably not this way. Am I right in thinking? not audibly, right? Very rare that you do find people who God speaks audibly, but very rare. So how do you know it was God? Yeah, that's fantastic. But what did we have? Did we have like an impression inside of us? Yes, Tina? Right, yep, you can, yeah, so I can, I agree with all that. And Catherine's very wisely pointed out, make sure it does line up with the word of God, because if it doesn't, it's not God. You realise that, don't you? Yeah, that's confirmation then, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think anybody came and told Abraham. But watch what God said. And it, really, the story begins at chapter 11, at the end there. And God has called Abraham. He's called him to do an 1,100-mile journey. And this is a great picture of discipleship. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. What was wrong with that statement then? He did. Thank you, John. When the call of God came to Abraham, he actually says, leave the people. Leave your family. But he takes them with him. And sometimes, and this is really important, when God has spoken to us, it's important we follow it to the letter. Because he takes people with him, God doesn't give up on him. We might give up on him when we don't get it right. But God's not like that. He works even amongst Abraham's mistakes. But there is a cost involved. Haran, 600 miles from where the calling first was, is where they settle as a family. And they begin to put roots down. And they're there for quite a while. And God has to come again and call him again. His father dies in Haran. Turn it back on yourself. God calls you to something, and he has. First and foremost, if you are a believer in this room, you are called into a relationship with him. We would all say that, wouldn't we? Yeah? Sometimes he calls you from something to something. What does he call every believer to? Includes his word? His ways? Yes, we'll go with his ways. Sorry, John? Submission, it will include that. You are all called to be disciples. Is that not true? Is that not in your Bible as well as mine? Have you read that? Why aren't you doing it? Ow. Or are you doing it? No, you're not. Because part of being a disciple is making disciples. Because that's the other part of the calling. That's the mission. One day, listen, one day, you're standing before him. And he's going to ask you this stuff. He's going to say to you, what have you done with what I gave you? Because I gave you something. And how many disciples have you made? Did you fulfill the calling that it was there? Or maybe what you've done, a bit like Abraham, you've left the place that you were in, started the journey, came to a point in your walk with God, and settled. That happens lots and lots of times. But the beautiful thing about this is, look, the call of God came again. The call of God can come. Anytime. And we'll keep coming. All we have to do is respond. Isn't it? To respond. You'll know in your heart now whether you've settled. And look, I know most of you in the room quite well. Some of you have settled a long time. But it's not too late. You're still breathing. If you're breathing at the end of the service, fantastic. If not, there's a nurse in the building. Qualified? things couldn't be better. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Who in the room is older than 75? You don't need to put your hands up, but there's only a couple of you, if that. So age is no excuse. I like the way God covers all the boxes. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. They got there. The good news is, if you keep moving forward, you'll arrive. You'll get there. How sad that people don't get where they're supposed to be. How unfulfilled I would be. I'll talk personally, look. How unfulfilled I would be if I was still chicken farming. You lot had had plenty of eggs. I was very good at it. But what a waste of a life. What a waste of gifting that God has put within me. What a waste not to see Carol lead the service for the first time. Shaking like a leaf when she came this morning. But feel the fear and took a step anyway. I mean, that is enormous, isn't it? I mean, she's only 4'6". What an example. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreth and Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Settling down, he's there, everything looks rosy. Is there any more slides, Roy, or is that it? Right. I want to show you, and I should have done it, but forgot. So you'll have to excuse me. It's my age. But listen while I read out the first verses. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you." That's the chapter 12, verse 1. He had to do three things. Leave your country, your people, and your father's house. Those are very scary things to ask someone to do. There's no cars, there's no planes. If you're walking 10 miles a day, 20 miles a day, an 1,100-mile journey to a place you've never been before, what does that take? What does the Bible recognize? Faith. Right. He is... Just for the record, and it's a massive one, he is what's called the father of faith. The father of faith. He is the shining example, the most important character in the Bible other than Jesus Christ himself. 80 references in the New Testament to this man. A lot of them to do with faith. Kenny's right in pointing out he came from a pagan background. So why did he have faith? What gave him the faith? God spoke to him. God showed him. But you all told me that God has spoke to you. Into what? Because he does, but he hasn't yet. The text doesn't say that, Rose. It does later on because he changes his name to show that he's actually changed him. But at this point, it's an encounter with God which he's responding to. Is there anything, let's assume that Kenny's right, and I believe he is, that actually Abraham was worshipping the wrong God to begin with? Nimrod's gods. The sun, the moon, the stars. What was in Abraham to make him special? Well, there you go. Would everyone have got that? There was nothing in him to make him special. Sometimes, we'll be doing this as we go through the story, we'll come across some of the great characters in the Bible. Moses. a King David, a Joshua, and you can hold them up to the room and you can say, look at the exploits that these people did for God. And we're all probably going to say, well, I'll never be a Moses, I'll never be a David, and I'll never need to be a Joshua. But you might never need to be. But you do need to be an Abraham. If he calls us to it, Gemma, then certainly too. But I don't think I'm going to be walking through the streets of Killamarsh with an army behind me saying, I'm not saying never. Between me and you, if God asked me to walk through Killamarsh waving a sword, yeah, I'm sending Ken. I'm more of a planner. I forgot where I was now, Gemma. Yes, very true. Right, okay. But look, the point I'm trying to make is this. We're all called to have faith. All of us are called to have faith. And he's just like you and I. Matt is 100% right. There was nothing in him. God looked out over the face of the earth and he just says this, I'm choosing that one. It comes from God, you see. It's not that anything in Abraham made God take notice. It's not that anything in Noah was right. The wording is the other way around. It's God that called Noah. And he operates in righteousness. But actually, it's called election. God elects who he elects. And he's done that to us. In the room, I look around the room at a load of elected people. It's got to include that. But when we only know we have faith when we exercise the faith. We don't know. It's just a word on a piece of paper. Unless I actually put some flesh on it, isn't it? And when God comes, and he might come to you, and he might say, Gemma, it's time to get up and be a missionary in Africa or whatever. And if he says that, then the choice is down to you. Are you going to be obedient or not obedient? That wasn't a word of knowledge. It was just an example. Listen to what he goes on and says. This is God doing. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. What is he asking Abraham to do? Yeah. What else? Be obedient, yeah. I don't think he's asking Abraham to do anything. There are seven I wills in this passage. And when God says, I will do something, he don't need our permission, does he? This is what I'm going to do. And you could read that and you could say, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And if you know the story of Abraham, Abraham could say, well, between me and you, God, I'm going to pretend that the wife I'm married to is my sister. I'm going to tell some porkies along the way. And God says, well, I'm going to bless you. He could say, I'm going to settle in Iran and waste years of my time. And God's going to say, Abraham, I will make you into a nation and I will bless you. And if we apply that into our lives, his blessing is not dependent on you. It's just his love. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. A few more minutes. But I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. How many times have you blessed other people? Do you know, we are all called to be a blessing. It's great fun. Isn't it, Michelle? Isn't it why you travel so far three or four times a week? Because you know that God is using you to touch other people's lives. I will make you a blessing. Think of the fun we can have if we get on board with God's plan. And I know many of you in the room are. But maybe there's some in the room that are not. Called from something to something. Called to be a disciple. And as we are discipling, as we reach into the community. Do you know, we did some food parcels on Friday. What great fun. I met a woman who lives in the house that next door to where we used to live. And I was able to chat to her on the doorstep and tell her, and you know, the houses were horrible, weren't they? All those stories. The dog was still there. Said that when I got back in the car. So that blinking dog still barking. When I left, the woman's practically in tears. Because we just get to pass it on, don't we? Yeah. And I look at it, look, there's a church invite, there's a gospel going out there, there's a grow leaflet or whatever. And if it takes 10 years from now, and I'm long gone, it doesn't matter, because it's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. Yeah, and what happens to it is up to them. For those of you who belong to this church, can I challenge you to get on with a program, to see the outside of the community, to take Genesis chapter 12 literally? You are called to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And those who study history, if you want a little exercise, you look at the number of countries that have persecuted the Jews. And look at where most of them are now. Many don't exist. Many don't exist. The Jews, he tells them in Deuteronomy, I think chapter 7, he said, look, I chose you lot, not because you're the best nation in the world. I just do my choosing, how he does. He takes a nation, protects them, disciplines them, uses them to bless. The calling of Israel, and it failed, the calling of Israel was to be a light to the world. A light. If Israel had done its calling properly, there was no need for any of this. We'd all be adopting the Jewish religion. Well, that's what they were called for. The sad thing was, and he knows when he called them that they wouldn't fulfill it, but the sad thing is this, Gemma, they don't fulfill the calling because they don't have the faith. There's never a record of them keeping the year of the Jubilee, releasing the slaves. They mess up with the land, they get greedy, they take it all on themselves. They don't follow God's way, and because of that, despite the rest of the Bible disciplining them to bring them back to him, to show the world how to worship, they fail, and in the end he comes himself. That's the big picture. Well, now put it on you. What's your calling? Well, one of them is to be a light to the world. Salt, light. And hear this, we're finished with this. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's your mission field. God's plan, chapter 12, never changed. As we go on, we've got 14 chapters, I think, of Abraham, and we'll pick up some of the stories of where he does. But understand this, he isn't perfect, but he has faith. How about I leave you with a challenge before we come and get the worship group again? You like a challenge? What challenge would you like, Ken? To memorize Genesis? Finish your essays at college? Yeah, done. Plenty of time. No, plenty of time, that means. What challenge could we set Ken? How about we do it? We can do that. That's your challenge, thank you. Tell you what we do. No, you can't drag him in. We'd like to. James will be crying. I'll set you a challenge, right? Be a blessing to someone this week. Just fulfill that. Where you, next week, will come and give testimony. It's not being prideful. It's actually where you will come and give testimony and say, you don't have to name people or whatever, that you've done something that you wouldn't ordinarily do. You could wash the pastor's car. I put it out there. Just for example. Most people would choose the car. I've been blessed this morning just by what Carol did. Honest, just facing something and taking a step of faith. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't need to be massive, because that is massive. I've been blessed by what Michelle told me, and I wanted the church to hear. She said to me, I'll cry. Well, this is a safe place. Cry away. Think about this, look, and it ties in so well with what Abraham's about. Vic's died and gone, and yet her influence is still on. What a testimony. How sad it would be if Vic had just died and then we talk about her in the past tense, but we're not doing that. We're actually saying she's still ministering from heaven, because that's God's grace. And as, look, she's crying again, look. She as we do this, look, Vic was a wake-up call. I said it the week I spoke. It's got to be a wake-up call. It could have been any one of us. And one day is. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, your gifting, for good friends, for people that we get to share this life with, Lord. And Father, we are here for your kingdom. Not to build man's kingdom, not to build a Nimrod kingdom, Lord, but to build your kingdom. And whatever that looks like in our lives as individuals and together, Lord, I pray it will come through. Help each one of us in our unbelief, Lord, to have more faith. I pray your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. Lord, thank you for the precious testimonies that we get to hear, that you are still at work, still calling people, still drawing people to yourself. For your glory, Lord, I pray. Amen.